Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our guest is Susie Labus. Susie is the Chief Financial Officer of Labus & Associates, which is a bookkeeping and tax service that's been in the Riverside and San Bernardino area for some 50 years.
Yeah.
My goodness. Started by your dad, Richard.
That's correct.
And I read in your bio that you started working with him at 13?
Yes.
Did any of your classmates think there was something wrong with that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, while they were thinking about proms, you were thinking about tax codes.
That's exactly right.
Now, where did that, I mean, did you just pick up your dad's passion and think, I like that?
Well, what was interesting is he was in the grocery business, and he did taxes on the side. And it was kind of like the shampoo commercial, and so on, and so on. And one thing led to another, and people referred. And he got to the point where he was working his full-time job, and he said, you know, this extra money is really nice, but I either need help or I need to stop doing this. And at 13, having a calculator and a typewriter and files and a copy machine, I thought that was just way cool. So it just kind of sort of happened. I, you know, just kind of assisted him. And I took H&R Block's basic course when I was a junior in high school.
Interesting. I took that class, too.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want them going from there to preparing my taxes the next day, but
exactly.
It was a good start.
And they were ready to hire me, which was
that's right.
Scary.
That's right. I saw everyone in the class get hired except me. I didn't take it for that reason.
Exactly.
That's interesting. What services does Labus & Associates provide?
Well, we do many returns. We do returns for individuals, partnerships, corporations, estates, trusts. So that is ongoing. Yes, the filing season ended April 15th, but we have a great number of clients still on extension. Unfortunately, I think when the feds and the states, when they're broke, they're going to be doing more audits.
Mm.
So being an enrolled agent, I can represent clients before the IRS and the state. We haven't had to do many of those in the last few years, but I have a feeling more will be coming.
What exactly is an enrolled agent, and does that give you special privileges over anyone else that might be preparing their taxes?
Yes. It's a designation given by the Internal Revenue Service. It just means I passed the two-day exam, and it was strictly on taxation, and it's a federal designation, where a CPA, it's a two-day exam as well, but it's covering more material. It's in addition to taxation, it's audits and accounting and all the other stuff. Right now, the IRS is really getting tough as to who they'll work with. So right now, if you're not an attorney, CPA, or EA, they pretty much don't want to talk to you on the phone regarding your client.
Okay. You expect more audits because they're kind of looking for every dollar at this point?
Absolutely.
Different types of audits? Are there different types of audits?
I think because they need to be very careful with their money, I think they're now trying to be very strategic. So what's interesting, from a firm perspective, you know, at the bottom of every tax return we prepare is our firm ID number as well as our personal ID.
Mm-hmm.
So they know exactly how many returns the firm has done and how many I have personally done. And they also know, of the returns I've prepared, how many businesses, how many this, how many that. So on occasion, they'll send a letter saying, okay, this is what we're looking for this tax season. And one year it was, their target was hobby versus real business. You know, there was a kind of a flood of the multi-level business type. And
mm-hmm.
you know, you like get involved in this business, and oh, by the way, the convention's in Hawaii, and you can write off the trip,
mm-hmm.
and there really wasn't any income. And so the letter that we got was, well, you prepared this many returns, and out of that number, you did this many Schedule Cs. So they know exactly what a preparer is doing.
It's interesting you just brought that up, because now I'm thinking, okay, is it possible that if you're having your taxes done by somebody that pushes the envelope, then their ratio of audits would be higher than normal, and you'd be more likely to get audited?
That's exactly likely, because I did have a number of new customers in this year that had had their return audited, and their whole entire family had been audited. So, yeah, it looks like that's exactly what they're doing.
There's this part of you that hears the word audit, and you go, have I been blacklisted, or is it random? How do they pick if it's not the, like you said, the thing of the year? Is there something that they look on a tax return and that's a red flag? What's the typical red flags?
Well, there's a number of things. As a preparer and being in the business for 30 years, it takes me 30 seconds, and I can tell you, okay, this doesn't look good. It could be negative taxable income. It could be extremely high employee business expenses. You'll just have a sense of what's off.
Something out of ratio or proportion?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And is that done by individuals, or is that some type of automated system that just spits out the likely candidates?
Yeah, as far as the IRS and the state go, I think the computer pulls out the first batch, but then they get reviewed by a person, and then they get, then they weed them out from there. But a good number of them, it's just computer generated.
Okay.
And a good number of people think they're being audited because they got a notice called a CP2000.
Okay.
And what that is it's the computer comparing all the data in its computer system versus the return that was actually filed. It does a comparison. And if they, in their system, they say they have a $10,000 distribution from a pension plan, and it's not on the proper line of your tax return, the first thing that'll happen is a CP2000. And clients think, oh gosh, I'm being audited.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a comparison, and, they're asking you to say, hey, we think you didn't report this, and you have the opportunity to say, okay, no, this was rolled over, or I filed it, I just put it on the wrong line in my tax return, or whatever.
Okay. Every year you go away for about a week of tax school to catch up on any new changes to the tax code. Were there any significant changes this past year?
Tons of little stuff.
No big policy changes. So do you see in the next 4 years some big policy changes coming down the pike?
Yeah, it's already happening. The stimulus bill that had already passed there's already stuff in there. So they wanted to provide another stimulus check. This time they're not just going to write the check and give it to people, because evidently we as taxpayers did it wrong last year. That's what it kind of says.
Okay.
They wanted us to spend it, and most Americans either saved it or paid down debt, which they didn't want. So they've changed the withholding tables. Now, if you purchase a new vehicle, the sales tax will be deductible whether you itemize your deductions or not. They've changed the college credits. They've gotten rid of the HOPE and Lifetime Learning Credit. Now they have the American Opportunity Credit, I think is what it's called. So it's actually, it appears better. It's also going to include course material. Not exactly sure what course material means. Is it just going to be books? Is it going to be books and computers and what have you? I don't know yet. There's already stuff happening, and that one passed during tax season.
So you don't get a lot of notice for this stuff?
No.
Okay.
You have to be on it. Yeah.
And if you thought, okay, well, I did taxes 2 years ago, so I already know the business, you could be pretty far behind.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's really unfortunate is California requires 24 hours of continuing education to be a licensed preparer in the state of California.
That's it.
There's absolutely no darn way you can be prepared in 24 hours. No way. I mean, I get well over 100, and I still wonder if I know enough.
I would imagine maybe a lot of tax preparers have an automated system where they plug in the numbers and hope everything's inside that automated system.
In some case, yeah.
Okay. every year, you sort of have a front row seat to people's financial well-being. So how has this past year affected your clients, or, just the clients in general?
Well, what happened is we started the filing season this year, and the state of California's budget wasn't even passed. So normally February is kind of a fun month. I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years. I've gotten to know most of my clients. I truly enjoy tax season. And after about 2 weeks of February, I really didn't want to do anymore. It was already such a bummer. I'm hearing people that are getting pay cuts. You know, the county and the state were doing the furloughs.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing a day of work. They're losing 10% of their salary. The biggest one I heard was 31% of their salary. Some people had grown into overtime, and there wasn't any more overtime. So now they're looking for a second job to replace that.
When you said grow into it, you mean their budget had grown into it?
Yes.
With the expectation that that overtime would be there as a regular thing?
Exactly.
Is that common for you to witness overspending on a regular basis to where you think if anything goes wrong, this is going to be a problem?
Unfortunately, I truly believe most Americans are a paycheck away from bankruptcy.
Yeah.
It's really that bad, and it's been that bad for quite some time.
So this year was very different in mood than last year.
Absolutely. People that are on fixed incomes and fixed lives, they were equally as cranky. The confidence is just not there anymore.
Okay. Now, how was this cycle? How does this cycle feel to you as opposed to the 90s? Because that was kind of tough, too.
It was, but this one seems worse. And I think in the 90s, I was hearing it more from the business side. Yeah, some of the individuals, you know, at that point, my comment was, yeah, half of Moreno Valley is in foreclosure. And, you know, it's probably, I think it's just worse now, you know, and I think clients don't really see where the end is. The worry of how long is this going to last is there.
In the around 2000 and maybe in the late 90s, there was a lot of income that came from the stocks, and then there was real estate that ran up all the way till probably through 2007. Was there a significant absence of other than earned income when you did the taxes this year?
Unfortunately, most Americans don't save. I mean, if you're maybe 60 and older, those people know how to save, and there is savings. There is interest on their return.
Mm-hmm.
Under that, most Americans don't have a savings account. They don't understand what savings is. To me, savings isn't, okay, you moved your money from your paycheck to a savings account, and then within 6 months you took it out. That's not saving. The label might say savings, but that's more like save and spend.
Well, I think people equated equity with a savings account.
Yeah.
They just looked at that as a permanent piece of their financial future. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, was real estate viewed as a very big piece of somebody's retirement picture, and now has that radically changed?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was looked at as their checkbook.
Oh, you're talking about equity lines.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, how stupid am I? At the beginning of all this craziness, I said to a client, my goodness, you've refinanced 3 times in 1 year. Wow, did you really get that great of a rate each time? And they looked at me like I was an idiot, and obviously I was. She says, no, you know, the equity went up. I took out the equity. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll never need that.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Were you ever surprised at the amounts these people were able to borrow? Because you would have a pretty good picture of what, in fact, they made.
Well, that's why I say paycheck away from bankruptcy. It was bad. Totally nuts bad, yes.
So they shouldn't have been able to to borrow the money they did.
No way.
Okay. What did they feel? Was there any consternation on their part about the amounts they were dealing with? In other words, I mean, you know, you go from a $200,000 to a $300,000 and $400,000 mortgage. Was there ever a pause for concern, or was it pretty cavalier?
It's very cavalier, and people don't look at the full picture. It's all about the monthly amount. You buy a car, they talk payments.
Mm-hmm.
A mortgage, they don't talk about how much is it, what are the terms. It's all about the payment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all people think about. And as long as they can get through the month with the payments, the whole picture doesn't seem to matter.
What percentage of your clients would you say went from owning a home to becoming a real estate entrepreneur and owning more than one?
Oh, many, because a lot of them also did second homes.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. So that was very common.
Yeah.
Now, was that mostly financed, or was that the type of person that said, I have enough money to own it free and clear?
I don't know anybody but you that owns anything free and clear.
So that's not common?
No, not at all.
Not even in the retired age group?
No. In fact, what's interesting is many people now are retiring with an amazing amount of debt. Doesn't seem that that's a problem anymore. It's very interesting. The old thinking was you'd get all your bills paid, you have no debt, and then you retire. Oh, no, that's not what's happening now.
Well, how are people going to make it? Because I don't think Social Security is going to be able to increase their check.
It's a very good question.
That's scary.
It's a very scary thing. Social Security was intended to be a supplement to retirement. My understanding is 70% of Americans today, that's their only retirement. Now, this is during a period of time that there were a lot of companies providing retirement. I mean, my dad was in the grocery business. He left work with a pension plan. Now, if you're in the grocery business, you have 401k. Well, I can tell you, tax clients aren't even getting that they need to be contributing the max to their 401k. You might see $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and when I tell them, no, you need to be at like 15 a year at least. Get to 15 plus to have savings, they look at me like I'm an idiot.
Yeah, where would you think I would find that extra grand a month type thing?
There's no way, yeah.
And maybe they're telling you the truth. Maybe there is no way.
Exactly.
But that's not going to paint a pretty picture. Do you have clients that are worried about their defined benefit plans?
They should be, but I don't think they are.
Okay. They think all is well and that'll always be there.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
There could be definitely a lot of people retire less well than they thought.
I totally agree.
I remember talking to you in the 90s and we were talking and you definitely sensed the swell of the number of foreclosures. This time, have you felt that swell and has it happened at a much faster pace?
Actually, I was thinking it was going to happen some time ago and it's not with my clients, and maybe I'm just got a different clientele.
That
now.
Could very well be.
Yeah. I was emotionally prepared for it last season because I need to get myself emotionally prepared. You know, when it comes through the door, what am I going to say? How am I going to, I mean, that's part of the Susie.
Yeah, you're in the counseling business.
Yeah, I try and pick people up and try to make sure they don't feel so bad and help them find the light at the end of the tunnel. And I was really emotionally prepared for it last season, and it didn't happen. But so I've got some this year, but not the flood that I thought.
Okay. What if you are starting over and you're really unable to pay this year's taxes? What type of arrangements can be made so at least the IRS is not going to lien your earnings or, you know, steal your car or something?
Yeah. The biggest thing is to file. You know, get everything in order. Get your returns filed. Once you have filed, they're willing to at least get into payment arrangement, and it's very easy. It's not scary at all. You can either call them, you can go online, you can have your tax professional help you get into a payment arrangement. And if it's really bad, I would imagine IRS is going to start really taking those offer and compromises seriously again.
Okay.
The last couple years, they haven't really accepted very many, but chances are that they'll probably end up relooking at that, too.
An offer and compromise is they're willing to discount for a cash payment?
Exactly.
Now, are they more flexible the longer that bill was owed, so more flexible in, say, a 2002 federal tax bill as opposed to a recent year?
You know, I'm not really quite certain that it's age of the debt so much as the client themselves. If you've got somebody older and their ability to make the money, their ability to repay isn't there,
mm-hmm.
I think that weighs heavier than what the debt actually is.
Okay.
I mean, if you've got a young person and they're really making really good money right now, the chances are they're not going to let them out of it because they know eventually if they wait long enough, they're going to get some of their money. But you get somebody really older, near retirement, maybe not in good health, they stand a really good chance to get out from under it.
What about people that just haven't filed for a decade and all of a sudden they realize, I really would like to get back into the system? What would be their path?
Well, that actually happens. What's interesting is it's typically, this is going to sound bad, but it's typically men. And often they come in and say, I've met Girl Wonder, and the only way she'll marry me is if I clean up my act.
Okay.
I've heard that on many occasions.
Okay.
So what we do is...
So now you're in marriage counseling, too.
I know. It's crazy. I have them come in, and I do a power of attorney. So that way, once filed, I can go online with the IRS, and we can get the transcripts. So we at least know what the income was, and that kind of helps them piece together their life. I mean, it would be much better if they could get the W-2s and that sort of thing. But normally, if somebody's fallen out of the system, they have a hard time even providing you what the income was at that point.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have a clue themselves, because all they did was deal in cash jobs and that type of thing. I mean, I could imagine that picture would be almost impossible to be remotely accurate with.
Yeah. So I start with the transcripts, and then I back into it. I ask them about their life. Tell me about what was your living expenses then? And I have done returns where I've backed into a number. If I can't come up with any other way to do it, I'll come up with, okay, it took you $30,000 to get through life last year. We're going to at least have a profit of $30,000 on your return.
Okay. Now, that probably creates a bill that they can't pay.
Yes.
And now you're...
Then now they're in the system, they filed it, and now they make arrangements.
And now the wife-to-be goes, I'm not going to marry you all this money.
That could be true.
Now, which is harsher on delinquencies, federal or state tax?
Usually state.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's bigger percentage penalties for not doing it right?
Oh, I'm not certain about penalties. They're just more aggressive to go after it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I meant penalties, too.
Oh, okay.
Is there a difference? Or?
Well, because the federal liability is so much higher, the numbers get bigger.
More dollars, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does a bankruptcy wipe out IRS debt?
It depends on age. I'm not totally an expert in that area,
okay.
But it, depending on how old it is and what kind of debt it is. If it is trust fund taxes from payroll, my understanding, bankruptcy will not forgive that.
Okay.
So if you're an employer and you're withholding payroll taxes from your employees and not submitting at least that portion, I mean, there's the other half, the employer match.
Yes.
The employer match can be taken away in bankruptcy. But the trust fund part, the employee's money, cannot, as well as sales tax, that cannot be taken away from bankruptcy.
An accounting term for something, a very similar concept, is insolvency.
Yes.
So how is that used to as a tool to negotiate with the IRS?
Well, that also comes up right now when we're dealing with the foreclosures.
You've
got two kind of sides to losing a home, right? You've got one, you've sold it, in a sense, and then the second thing is you've been relieved of a debt. And IRS looks at it as if you're relieved of a debt, it's considered income. You've just been relieved of something.
Mm-hmm.
So Congress made some changes to put some things in place to help homeowners with acquisition debt. But even if you don't meet all of that, the state didn't obviously jump in on that one.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, there are the insolvency rules. And that is a potential that if you've got debt relief and you don't meet some of the other stuff, there is a possibility you can get out from under the tax on debt relief with insolvency.
Okay. We have only a minute left. Since it looks like perhaps the seniors are probably going to work beyond where they thought they were, when someone receives a Social Security check, what is the maximum amount they can make prior to it being taxed?
You know, every year that changes.
Okay.
And I want to tell you it's probably somewhere in the $12,000, $13,000 range. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but every year that number changes. It's a very small amount. It's crazy.
Okay. But as everything, it seems like it's all up for grabs in the last couple of months before you get to actually do the taxes. You get to go and hear all the changes. And some of them, I would imagine the next 2 or 3 years, we could see some big, big changes that haven't been changed in a long time.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Well, Susie, we're out of time. The phone number that we can reach you at Lavis is 951-300-9600. We will do one more segment with Susie Lavis, the Chief Executive Officer of Lavis & Associates. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.